Bring God's word to us this morning. We're just going to watch a short video clip from Frontline to introduce a little bit more about what Astrid's going to be speaking to us about.
Gathered.
Welcomed,
celebrated,
restored,
gathered together,
encouraged,
supported,
loved,
reminded who God is,
hearts awed by His majesty,
eyes seeing fresh,
the wonder of grace,
thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am
and all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
Really great videos, aren't they? Who's that sneezing? I just want to bless you. Bless you. It's horrible when you're in a room and you keep and you think, oh, and nobody's going to acknowledge it. So I just want to acknowledge it. Be healed. Yeah? But sneeze away. Brilliant, brilliant. I love these videos. They just remind us, don't they, of what it is we're here to do, this being available to one another here in our church family and out there in all of the different places that we find ourselves. We couldn't actually get red drawing pins to work on our board, which is why we've got red sticky dots. But if you've got other front lines that you've not put on this board, it's not too late. Stick your dot on there and say, this is my front line. This is where I spend time witnessing or wanting to witness to Jesus. Now, some time ago, this microphone's being so well used today. I asked my small group as an icebreaker question, what three things would be really important to them if they were looking for a new church? Now, I made it very clear to my small group, I was not asking them to look for another church. And as I asked this question to my wider church family, I want to make it really clear, I'm not asking you to find another church. But I would love to know what three things do you look for when it comes to being part of a church? I'm going to come to you, Alan, then I'm going to come to you, Cheryl. That's great.
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Fantastic.
Family.
Family. Brilliant. Pat.
A great welcome.
A great welcome. Fabulous. Who else would like to contribute? Karen.
Teaching.
Good teaching. Anyone else? Dee.
Values.
Values. Brilliant. Oh, thank you. Right at the back. That is fantastic. There we are.
Good worship.
Good worship. Christine, welcome. I'm going to pass that microphone down the line. Is that all right?
It must relate to the world we live in today.
Yeah, absolutely. Be relevant. I love that. Thank you. anyone else want to throw in your thoughts? Nope, okie dokie. Well, you've said some of the things that my group came up with. We talked about worship being important, teaching being important, but we also concluded that the relationships that we had with one another were really important, especially in a small group setting. They kind of had to say that because I was leading the session. But I think they meant it, in all honesty. And we also picked up on the importance of being able to serve, to make our faith practical in some kind of way. And I think between us here this morning, between the video that we've just watched and this small group, we've picked up on some of the things that the writer to the letter to the Hebrews talks about when it comes to being church. So if you've got a Bible on your phone, please do turn to Hebrews 10. If you haven't got a Bible on your phone, but you want to follow through with me, there are Bibles at the back of the church. Do grab one. One of the awkward things, sometimes when we're trying to find something in a paper Bible, when we're amongst a lot of people, is, oh my word, can I find it? Our reading is on page 1208, because I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed. Yes, I've got to check that. I might put my glasses on. That will help. So we're going to look at Hebrews 10. We're going to start looking at verse 19, and we're going to conclude with verse 25. So, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Today, we're concluding our frontline teaching series, or our Faith on the Frontline teaching series. And the previous four sessions that we've looked at have encouraged us to think about how we're a witness for Jesus in those scattered places that we find ourselves Monday to Saturday. We thought about the difference we can make wherever we are, whoever we are, and whatever we do. Today, we're going to reflect on the importance of those times when we gather together as church family, because our scattered lives out there are deeply linked to our gathered lives in here. Think of a car. It grinds to halt if it runs out of fuel. Think of a car. It runs badly if it's not serviced regularly. Think of a car. It can become a danger to other people if it doesn't regularly get submitted for and pass its MOT. And it can be true for us as Christians as well. If we're going to be fruitful for the long haul on our front line, we need to be faithful in gathering together on a Sunday. Our midweek small groups and our prayer triplets and those other ways that we gather with Christians are all part and parcel of that strengthening and encouraging impact. But you know, we worship in the broadest, widest way when we come together on a Sunday. It's easy to have a small group where we all like each other. It's so much harder in a space where we've got people that are different to us as well as similar to us. Coming to church on a Sunday is really important. We need one another. And that's really the simple message I want to bring to us this morning. We need to gather together as church. Now, Hebrews 10 reminds us what a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege it is. Verse 19 reminds us that we journey through life with a confidence that is based on something and someone bigger than ourselves. When we face a nerve-wracking occasion or a difficult season, we know that whatever is thrown to us, we've got confidence that Jesus has got this. And so we can walk a bit taller. We can walk a bit more boldly into the situations that we find ourselves in because Jesus has promised he's got it. He's got it. And he's got a plan for us. What takes us by surprise never, ever takes him by surprise. God is always ready. We can fearlessly approach God with everything because we know he loves us because of Jesus. One of my favourite hymns, it's a really old one, but one of my favourite hymns is this. It starts, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We are privileged to be Christians. And the writer of this letter reminds us of something that I think can be a little bit of a challenge for us to fully understand. I think actually it loses a little bit of impact on us because he talks to his audience as having a new way of living. And at one level, we are so far removed from what worship looked like back in those days, back in the Old Testament. It's hard for us to imagine exactly what that Old Testament worship looked like, that need to come to God through a priest, a flawed, imperfect human being. This old way of coming to God focused on behaviour, and it focused on rules, and it focused on standards, all of which were completely unattainable. But that's not the truth for us today because of Jesus. I used to work for somebody. I only worked for him for 18 months, and I was headed into a very dark place because of the environment I worked in. But he never, ever could say the words, "Well done." He either wanted more or he found fault with what we did. And he hoped that that would motivate us to do better. But for me, it was crushing, absolutely crushing. Waking every day knowing that I would fail to meet the standards before I'd even got out of bed and started my day. It was such an oppressive environment to kind of be in. And I wonder whether there was something of that feeling around that Old Testament way of worshipping, never being able to fully get it right. The writer to the Hebrews says that this old not good enough approach is finished. Wow. This not good enough approach is finished. Jesus has redefined what enough means. when it comes to accessing God. No longer is enough about our output or the way we do things or the rules that we stick to. Because of the sacrifice, the once and all sacrifice for Jesus, a doorway that was once guarded by a priest has been made wide open for all to enter in. This is because of Jesus. This is amazing, and it is incredible freedom. And I want us just to pause for a moment. You can close your eyes or you can just sit quietly. I want us just to reflect on what that freedom looks like for us. Let's breathe in. Jesus has redefined what enough looks like. Let's just relax in the knowledge of this truth. If I never did another thing for God, his love for me would not be diminished one tiny bit. Just breathe that in. I've got nothing to prove. Through Jesus Christ, I am enough. Enough to enter into the most intimate relationship with God. There's that advert, isn't there, where those little kids run around going, ah, Bisto. I want to redefine that. That each day we sit for a moment and we go, oh, Jesus. Yeah? Remembering who Jesus is. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who needed to know that you are enough today? Just, yeah, look. Why did we come to church today? Yeah. Why did we come? Because we need one another. We need to be reminded and encouraged and strengthened. And if we don't need that, then God invites us to be the ones who are strengthening and encouraging and being a friend and a help to those around us. You see, we need to hold up, we need to keep a firm grip on who we are. We need to keep on being reminded and we need to keep reminding one another. And this is what keeps us going. Coming together and worshipping together, it's crucial to our ongoing faith and effectiveness when we are one of those little red dots in a whole sea of grey. And so, the really serious question that I want to ask us this morning is this: how important is church to me? It's a serious question because we prioritize what is important to us. So how important is church? I'm really privileged to have grown up in a family where both of my parents went to church and we were taken to church every Sunday. It shaped the pattern of our week. Now, there's no guarantee that bringing our children to church will cause them to continue adopting that habit. But if they see us using church as an optional extra, it makes it really easy for them to walk away or adopt a similar approach. It's really tough being a parent when they've got a party on a Sunday morning. It's really tough on a parent when they've got a sleepover the night before, or as my daughter was out clubbing till silly o'clock in the morning. It's really tough. It's really tough when they've got football or dance or something else that clashes with Sunday church. It's really tough being a parent. It's not easy trying to navigate these issues. Nevertheless, we have to ask ourselves, how important is church to us as an individual? And how important is church to us as a family, as a way of doing life? It's such a serious question. How important is church? As a young adult, working full-time with a home and a garden and a family and friends to keep up with, I chose to make church part of what I did on a Sunday. I didn't have to do it because my parents weren't there, but I chose to make that my habit. My socialising, my decorating, my resting, relaxing, and everything else that I wanted to do on a Sunday happened after I'd gone to church. In fact, quite often I would be walking home from church, Bible tucked under my arm, because that's what you did back in the day that we didn't have phones. Bible tucked under my arm, and one of my neighbours would be walking in the opposite direction on the other side of the road. He was off to the pub, I was off to do whatever I was doing, and he'd yell across this busy main road, "Been to church, Astrid?" It was a witness, but it was a habit. It was something that I always did. And I don't say this as a boast, but in preparing this message, it's caused me to reflect on my church-going habits over the many decades that I've been alive. It's caused me to reflect on the way that I've captured these verses and applied them in my life. Do not give up being part of church, paraphrase Astrid. For me, church has always been both a habit and a fixed point in my week. And I'm really grateful for what I was taught as a child and chose to adopt as an adult. Whatever else that might have been going on in my life over, as I say, many years, being part of a church has served as my compass. It served as my compass. It has been crucial to me. So it's a serious question. How important is church to me? Let's not give up meeting with one another despite the incredible number of pressures that there are on our lives. Now, I know it's easy for me. I'm paid to get up in the morning and come to church. But it hasn't always been like that, and it won't always be like that. But church is one of the most crucial things I do week on week. The writer of the verses that we've read today has a sense of urgency in the way that they write. They use the word spur when talking about our relationships with one another. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And this word spur is a really sharp word in the Greek. It means inciting or provoking. We use those words in a much more negative way, don't we, in our current day. But it means inciting or provoking, because the writer's got a future day ahead, that day when Jesus is going to come again, and he's calling believers to hold on to faith until that time. But you know, we're called to spur one another on because we never know when there is a crisis around the corner. We never know when there's going to be a bereavement or a redundancy or a major problem in our workplace. We never know whether we're going to get bad news about our health or our family or our investments or anything else. If we've become sporadic in our gathering together, we can find ourselves nomadic when it comes to those seasons when the pressure is on. No place to call our home. How important is church to me? I'm not going to finish the rest of this. We're going to pause. I'd only got another paragraph. We're going to pause and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. How important is church to me? Let's spend a few moments quietly reflecting on that question. If you're like me, over the years the church has hurt you. I wonder this morning if we're carrying church hurts, whether we can start to release that pain to God. Maybe even start to forgive. Or at least promise to God that we will forgive in the not too distant future. If you're anything like me, your experience of church is that it's failed you. Sometimes failed to be all that it could be, failed to be all that it should be. I wonder what God's invitation to you is right now. Maybe start a conversation with Jesus about this. Maybe like me, you've had and maybe have pressures on your time. Things that make it challenging to being part of a church family week by week. What do we need from God to hold those burdens with us? When we think about how important is church, let's remind ourselves that we're not talking about the building. We're not talking about the traditions. We're talking about the people. Our friends, our family, the people that make church, church. the people that are journeying with us through the ups and the downs. How important is it to have a spiritual home? That place with others where we can come and say, "Ah, Jesus. We come together so that we can be strengthened and equipped and encouraged and healed and restored and built up so that we are out in those scattered places, safe, whole, effective, honest and real. So I want to invite you, if you would, to stand with me. We can find it quite hard as a congregation to look each other in the eye. So that's fine. You can look at me at the front if you want. That's okay. We are who we are. We're church family. But if you can look at others in your church family, I'm going to encourage you to do that. It's quite a brave thing to do. We're going to commission ourselves, not only for the times that we're out there in our scattered places, but for the time that we're in here. Every year we make promises to each other, don't we, in January? Well, I'm just bringing that date forward, and I haven't planned it, so I can't remember all that we've promised to do for one another, because I don't have a memory that works like that. But whether you want to look up front and look at Jesus, don't look at me. Whether you want to look up front or whether you want to look to one another, we're just going to, I'm going to encourage you just to say yes and amen in your heart as I promise this. Lord, we promise to be the best people that we can be out in the communities that we live in, that we work in, that we serve in our homes. Yes. Amen. And I'll just take a quick peep around the room, this motley bunch. Imperfect people. This is what we call church. Sorry, guys, we can't see you online, and you probably can't see us. Come and be part of the building, in the building if you can. It's so much better in real terms. Have a quick sneak. This is your church family. This is the gathered people. We're the best. We're the best you got. You're the best I've got. And you know what? You're good enough. So let's promise to keep on supporting one another, journeying with one another, forgiving one another, encouraging one another, building one another up, making that effort when everything inside of says, "Oh no, I don't want to," because we're family. Let's commission ourselves, let's commission one another to be church, to be one another for one another. However hard, and whenever it's painful, we just try a little bit harder to forgive, at least. So have another little peep around the room. You can do it fairly secretly. Yeah? We want to say yes and amen, because we're family. May the Lord bless you. May he keep us. Maybe he keep us in his perfect peace.